Marge of a Lower Hate. This is FieldPod.com. The Week in Georgian English coming to you from our studios above lovely Fillmore Street in San Francisco. Today is Thursday, the 17th of October, 2013. On this date in 1469, Ferdinand and Isabella marry, thereby uniting Spain. In 1648, Boston shoemakers form the first U.S. labor organization. 1851, Moby Dick is published as The Whale in London. 1867, the U.S. formally takes possession of Alaska from Russia. In 1898, the U.S. takes control of Puerto Rico from Puerto Rico. 1922, the BBC is founded. In 1945, Juan Perón marries Eva Perón. In 1954, Texas Instruments announces the first transistor radio from their headquarters in Dallas. In 1991, Azerbaijan declares independence from the Soviet Union. Today is Necktie Day in Croatia. Birthdays today are Pierre Trudeau, Malia Mercouri, Jesse Helms, Chuck Berry, and Lee Harvey Oswald. 2 years ago today, actor Ramaz Chhaidze died. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen. Thank you again for those posting to our forum. We had a question about transcripts. Very sorry, we don't have any of those things. We also had a call for Matthias, Will, and Cameron to come back. Sorry about that. We'll work on figuring out a way to wind them in. Not sure how we're going to do that, but we'll figure something out. We had more goofiness from Father Guido Sarducci, as is becoming a tradition. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask a question, go to tapeelpod.com or send an email to tapeelpod@gmail.com. On the 14th of October, the former defense minister of Georgia, Dato Kezadashvili, was detained through the work of Interpol at Nice Airport as he was trying to board a flight to the Albanian capital, Tirana. The ambassador of Georgia to France, Ekesiradze Delon, believes that Kezadashvili is in Provence in southern France. The Georgian chief prosecutor's office demands that Kezadashvili be extradited. According to the Georgian prosecutor's office, they have 40 days to send material justifying their extradition request. Then the French court and French Ministry of Justice will make a decision on the extradition. Kezadashvili holds both Georgian and Israeli citizenship. According to the Georgian prosecutor's office, quote, from a legal point of view, citizenship from a third country does not represent an impediment to extradition, end quote. Kezadashvili has been charged with the following crimes: taking bribes as a public official, violating customs rules with an organized criminal group, laundering money, and receiving illegal income. In January 2013, the prosecutor's office brought charges against him in connection with an alcohol smuggling scheme in which Kezadashvili allegedly received $12 million in bribes between 2007 and 2012. He was also charged with violating customs procedures, thereby losing the state 50 million lari in unpaid taxes. February 2013, Kezadashvili was charged, along with Tbilisi Mayor Gigi Ugulava, in misappropriating state funds and money laundering. This trial is ongoing. The case alleges that Kezadashvili, along with Ugulava, used state funds to seize Imedi TV in 2008. I don't know anything about this alcohol smuggling situation, but certainly Kezadashvili was well reputed to be the national movement's money guy and dealt with a huge amount of money, who oversaw the fuel import cartel. And, it was the one who decided what the prices for that would, that very, very profitable business would be and how that would be arranged, as well as the lottery, which was a giant state monopoly that I'm sure was very, very lucrative, and all sorts of other things. On the 14th of October, Prime Minister Bettina Ivanishvili was on Channel 1's program Moambe for an interview. On the program, he said that, quote, if it becomes necessary, end quote, Georgia will refuse to take part in the Sochi Winter Olympics, but more time is needed to make a decision. He also discussed the upcoming presidential elections. He's sure there will not be a second round, since Georgian Dream candidate Georgi Margvelashvili will win convincingly in the first round. He also said that the prime ministerial candidate who will replace him will be announced a week after the presidential elections. BI criticized the co-founders of the NGO Georgia's Reform Associates, Sergei Kapanadze and Elena Koshadia, and compared Kapanadze to UNM MP Georgi Viniashvili, quote, who was ridiculed even by his team members because of his silly questions, end quote. Later, Kapanadze and Kostadia, both of whom are very smart people, by the way, responded to BI and stated that it is unfortunate that their criticism and recommendations are not taken seriously. Instead, they are politically labeled and publicly ridiculed. Yeah, I mean, if BI's got to, you know, going to choose some people on the team, they're not the ones to choose. They really are the smartest on the team. Well, maybe that was the idea. On the 10th of October, Misha visited Dvani. He addressed the locals in front of the boundary line. Behind him, on the other side of the ABL, was a sign which read, quote, South Ossetia State Border, end quote. Misha called it a shameful curtain that the occupiers hung between the ancient lands of Georgia. He said, quote, there can't be disagreement on the most important issues, Georgia's sovereignty, freedom, and the future of Georgia. I believe that we are all equally alarmed by Russia's activities. They advance more. They can even cross the highway, misappropriate the oil pipeline. And, of course, this has tragic results daily for the people who were deprived of agricultural land, end quote. Last weekend, a number of protest rallies and events were held in Georgia to protest the Russian occupation and Georgia's participation in the Sochi Winter Olympics. Students, journalists, and politicians rallied outside the government offices in Tbilisi. NGOs and students went to the village of Dietzi and symbolically lit torches and released balloons. Other rallies called Stop the Annexation were held on the streets of Tbilisi, Rustavi, Telavi, Gori, Batumi, Kutaisi, and Zugdidi. There was a concert in Rose Revolution Square, formerly Republic Square, with the slogan, No to Occupation, No to the Sochi Olympics. Organizers gathered signatures for a petition which calls on the government to boycott the Sochi Olympics. The online petition now has nearly 10,000 signatures. The link is posted on our forum for those who want to sign. I have to say, I'm not sure about this boycott. Russia, or at least the Kremlin, surely does not care. Certainly not such a good thing for the athletes who have been training so hard for this, and Georgia has some serious contenders in the winter sports. The mechanics of what a boycott would look like are important to consider. I'm not sure of the operational, you know, details behind it. I mean, certainly the fact that it's being held in Sochi is another question. What that's done to the town of Sochi, how Russia has dealt with it, you know, what Russia is doing in general, in many different angles in terms of the corruption around the construction, how Abkhazia is or is not being used as a part of that, and recent laws relating to homosexuals. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. Tbilisi City Hall plans to purchase apples from villages close to the Russian-controlled territories. The plan is an initiative of the mayor of Tbilisi, Gigi Ugulava. The goal is to help people living in the conflict zone who otherwise would be left without income. The idea came from the people in the village of Adzvi, which appealed to City Hall. The purchased harvest will be distributed to socially vulnerable families. According to Russia's Levada Center, which said they might not exist soon due to pressure from the government, more Russians like Georgia than dislike Georgia. In this 2013 survey, September survey, 46% said that they essentially liked Georgia. The same survey conducted in 2012 said 41% of Russians like Georgia. 2011, the number was 38%, and in autumn of 2008, it was 17%. The percentage of those hostile towards Georgia fell to 43% in the 2013 poll from its high of 75% in the 2008 survey. Levada surveyed 1,600 people in 45 of Russia's 83 constituent territories. Russia's chief sanitary inspector and informal Tbilpod.com mascot Gennady Onishenko told Georgia to close its biolaboratory, which was opened with U.S. support. He suggested that Georgian food imports to Russia could be in danger if they do not close the facility, since the two are so closely connected. Onishenko claimed that the lab, quote, creates agents that can be used to destabilize the political and economic situation in the country, end quote. Essentially, Onyshenko is claiming that Georgia is violating its international obligations and conventions on the production of biological and chemical weapons. Keep in mind, this is the guy who's the sanitary inspection guy for food. Onyshenko is an unmitigated idiot, as we all know. But what is he doing saying things like this? Has the Kremlin approved this, or are they so focused on trying to be sure the Olympics come off and that there are plenty of Putin photo ops that they just don't care? This is what I don't understand about his comments and why he's shooting his mouth off like this. On the 10th of October, the Minister of Agriculture, Shalva Pipia, said at a press conference that the head of Russia's Federal Services of Veterinary Sanitary Control signed a document which lists restrictions on the import of the following food products from Georgia into Russia: nuts, grapes, apples, pears, quinces, and citruses. This change went into effect on the 14th of October. Russia is acting like this is a big concession, but all this is mandated by WTO membership, since everybody knows that Russian sanitary inspection is just like some Soviet Keystone Cops trade barrier entity and really nothing more. The European Court for Human Rights in Strasbourg will announce its rulings in the Georgia-Russia deportations case next year. As a reminder, in March 2007, Georgia filed a case against Russia after a wave of deportations of Georgian citizens. The deportations took place some months after Georgia detained four Russian diplomats accused of spying. The Minister of Justice asked the Strasbourg court why a decision hasn't been announced yet. As the hearing was finished in June 2012, the court didn't specify the reason for the delay. By the way, it was these diplomats who were, in fact, spies, no doubt, being detained and being on television, whatever else, that was the thing that really, really soured relations between the Kremlin and the Georgian government. On the 14th of October, a number of Georgians signed an open letter responding to Thomas Hammerberger's report on Georgia. As a reminder, Hammerberg is the special advisor of the European Union on legal and constitutional issues in Georgia, and by the way, was specifically requested by BI to come and, you know, report about what's going on and that sort of thing, so that there was somebody independent from Europe to report on what was happening in Georgia after the elections. His report was published in September. The poet Rezo Amashukeli, writer Chavu Amida Jibi, chess champion Nona Gafrindashvili, businessman Levan Bashadze, choreographer Pridan Tsulabaridze, film director goofball Goga Khaindrava, and others signed the letter which criticizes Hammerberg's report on human rights. They claim it does not respect Georgian traditions because it asserts equal rights for homosexuals. The letter says, quote, "Your employer sent you to a traditional society for work. The rules of diplomacy request that you respect the traditions of the country where you are. On one of the tragic moments of the history of our country in Tbilisi, 100,000 people voluntarily gave their lives to protect Christian morality. Tbilisians consider these people saints, and you teach a lesson to the residents of this town and the country about morality, and you say that we also must have a right to express our viewpoint." End quote. The letter was published in Kvitis Politra and is such a portrait of strutting self-righteous indignation that everybody has to read it to believe it. In protest, the UNM left the Interagency Commission, which controls the election processes in the country. UNM members claim that the commission's chair, Justice Minister Teo Tsilukiani, told them in a closed meeting that her goal is to destroy the UNM. The minister claims she didn't make such a statement. NGOs which attended the session also confirm that she didn't make this statement. The Interagency Commission is composed of various ministries and state agencies. Representatives of political parties and NGOs are allowed to attend sessions, as are representatives of international organizations who check out elections in the country. The Deputy Secretary of the National Security Council, Batu Kutelia, resigned. He did not comment on his resignation, but Tamar Kintsurashvili, Second Deputy Secretary of the Security Council, confirmed he resigned. Prior to this position, he was ambassador to the United States. Kutelia will continue to work in the U.S., we don't know where. Before becoming ambassador, Kutelia was Deputy Defense Minister. The National Security Council is subordinate to the President. After the presidential elections, when a new constitution will come into force, the power of the Security Council will be reduced along with that of the president. Since most of the staff of the council are UNM members, it's expected that they'll be dismissed after the elections. First Deputy Foreign Minister Dato Zalkalyani explained there will not be election precincts in Russia because Georgia doesn't have diplomatic relations with Russia. Because of this, there are numerous organizational security issues. In addition, there will not be election precincts in Moldova, Romania, or Jordan. Zalkalyani explained that there are not sufficient number of election commission members and that the number of Georgian citizens in these countries is too small. In September, donors gave the Georgian Dream Party more than 500,000 lari in donations. In October, the amount of donations was 1,500 lari. 1,000 of this was from Guram Odisharia, the Minister of Culture, and the other 500 lari was from the Member of Parliament, Tamas Avdaliani. Meanwhile, the party of Nino Borjanadze, the Democratic Movement, received 400,000 lari, 60,000 of which was from Borjanadze herself. The UNM received 140,000 lari in donations in October. Following up on last week's story about Gheorghe Sabanadze, the former chairman of the Tbilisi Development Fund, who is charged with embezzling more than $20 million and is wanted by Interpol. Last week, he was released by an Italian court and granted political asylum in Hungary. His lawyer said that this is the only information she has and that other details are not yet known, including when he applied for asylum, when the asylum was granted, and why. And continuing on with the Hungarian theme, on the 10th of October, Hungarian Prime Minister, much despised by the EU, Viktor Orban, and autocrat, I mean dangerous autocrat for within the EU, somebody who's destroying institutions at a brisk pace in an EU member country and freaking everybody out, responded to questions about former Justice Minister Zsuzsa Ádásvili, who, according to rumor, is in Hungary working as an advisor to the Prime Minister. For those who don't know, Misha and other bigwigs within the UNM were quite close to Orban and would, you know, talk about what a great guy he was and all sorts of other things. After Orban gave a speech at London's Chatham House, Sulkhan Kabadze, a member of Chatham House and a London resident, asked why the Hungarian government allowed Ádásvili to cross the border and help him avoid justice. The Prime Minister avoided the question, instead saying that Hungary has good bilateral relations with the present Georgian government. The 14th of October, Georgia marched Mskhetoba Sveti Skovloba, one of the most important church celebrations in Georgia. Ilya II delivered a service in Svetislaveli Temple in the town of Mskheta. The Patriarch presented U.S. Ambassador Richard Norland with a gold bracelet and awarded the Golden Order of St. George to Eldar Shengalaya, Mera Bertanashvili, Guram Dochanashvili, Shalva Mosidze, and Rezo Chheidze. I'm really having a hard time imagining Ambassador Richard Norland in a gold bracelet. He's just not a gold bracelet kind of guy. But, you know, what do I know? Well, we'll have to see. Anybody gets a picture, you know, send it on, post it. The popular Russian biker club Night Wolves, closely connected with the Putin cheerleading squad, Nashi, visited Georgia for 2 days. They visited Svetislava and went to the Stalin Museum in Gori. Putin is an honorary member of the club and has ridden with him. The founder of the club, Alexander Zaldastanov, interesting, I wonder if that was originally Zaldastanishvili, said he will tell Putin about their impressions from the Georgian trip. Supposedly what I heard was that the invitation came from Georgia's patriarch. On the 15th of October, BI visited a mosque along with the State Minister for Reintegration, Pata Zakharishvili. Both congratulated Georgian Muslims on the Bayram holiday. The ambassadors of Azerbaijan and Turkey also attended the prayer in the mosque. In his interview in the newspaper, Asavalda Savaldi, public defender Uchun Nanuashvili spoke about Ilya II. Quote, offensive reports and statements directed against Ilya II unfortunately became frequent in public meetings, the press, electronic media, and social networks. This causes irritation among the largest segment of the Georgian population, the Orthodox Christian congregation and the congregation treats this offense as something addressed to them. This is unacceptable. The offense of the spiritual father of the nation causes protest in me personally, too. End quote. Yeah, I'm a little nervous and offended by the public defender talking about what he's offended by in that regard. Anyway, in his interview with the newspaper, also Asad Valdesavaldi, amazingly, evidently a popular interview newspaper now, I'd encourage anybody to anyone who doesn't read Georgian, get a translation of an article on Asad Valdesavaldi and read it. It will be instructive for you. Doesn't matter which article. Former President Edward Shevardnadze stated in this interview that he can take an oath on an icon that B.I. is not Russia's man in Georgia, but he cannot say the same about Misha. He said, quote, Russia's most desirable candidate for the post of president was Misha. In August 2008, Russia received what it wanted and would receive much more if not for B.I. That is why the Kremlin escalates the situation on the so-called border. End quote. Glad to hear that he's so articulate now. I've not heard that from the people who've interviewed him over the last couple of years. Former Prime Minister and the Secretary General of UNM, Vano Medabashvili, published a statement on his Facebook page and asserted that the presidential candidate, Nino Bourgeoisie, plans to organize disorder in Georgia. On the 18th of October, Medabashvili said that Russia intends to organize disorder with various individuals through Bourgeoisie. This, he said, will be a repeat of what happened on the 26th of May. On the 12th of October, three former political prisoners were detained in Batumi during a campaign rally for Dato Bakradze on the UNM presidential candidate. They were taken away from the meeting by police as they attempted to get closer to Bakradze. Before the incident, the three told journalists that they planned to ask Bakradze questions about the UNM's unfair treatment of people for 9 years. Quote, later, the Batumi City Council fined each of them 100 lari. On the 12th of October, Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri stated that the government disagreed with the IMF's prognosis that Georgia's economic growth will slow down further. They called this scenario unimaginable. Earlier, the IMF published a new report which downgrades the prognosis of Georgia's economic growth from 4% to 2.5%. At the beginning of the year, the IMF predicts 6% growth for 2013. According to the IMF, economic growth will be 5% next year, which is now reflected in the draft 2014 budget. The level of unemployment will be increased by 1.7% compared to last year and reach 16.7% next year. The IMF expects unemployment to further increase to 17.3%. After granting Georgian citizenship to almost 1,000 Turks, Misha is going to give Georgian citizenship to 3,000 more Georgians living in Turkey. He expressed his hope that the next president, who will be elected for a 5-year term, will continue this. Didn't like that so much when Russia was handing out passports to Ossetians. I wonder how the Turkish government feels about this. On the 16th of October, the director of Multinational Georgia, Andro Stepanian, protested BI's statement about ethnic Armenians in front of the state chancery building. On the 15th of October, BI said in his speech in Akhalkalaki, an ethnic Armenian enclave, that, quote, Georgia has its own problems. We have lost territories. You have some problems in your country, too. I hope that we will overcome it together, end quote. Arno Stepanian states that he believes BI respects ethnic minorities, but ethnic Armenians are still citizens of Georgia, and therefore they come from Georgia. New head of the Service Agency of the Interior Ministry, Nino Kobakhidze, stated that beginning the 15th of December, citizens will be able to pass exams on both automatic and manual transmission vehicles. According to her, if a person decides to pass the exam on a car with an automatic transmission, a driving certificate will be granted only to drive an automatic vehicle. Kobakhidze also noted that if desired, the desired, the owner's blood group will be indicated on the driver's license. In addition, the agency, along with the blood bank, will implement a project, and if a citizen decides to donate blood, they will be tested for various viruses free of charge. Undesignated viruses that will be checked for free of charge. On the 17th and 18th of October, the Georgian Public Broadcaster will host TV debates between some of the presidential candidates. The public broadcaster invited only those candidates who were nominated by qualified political parties, which won at least 3% of the vote by running either separately or in a block or with other parties in the most recent parliamentary and local elections. There are only 7 qualified candidates: Georgi Margvelashvili of the Georgian Dream, UNM Stato Bakradze, Christian Democrats Georgi Targamadze, Koba Davidashvili of the People's Party, Zurab Haritashvili, nominated by the European Democrats of Georgia, Sergo Javakhidze from the Movement for a Fair Georgia, Temuraz Mashavia, nominated by the Christian Democratic People's Party. Nino Borjanadze didn't fall into this category of candidates because of her Democratic United Movement Party has not run in recent elections. However, she is still eligible to participate in televised debates because there was an exception for candidates who have at least 4% of the popular support, according to 5 opinion polls. On the 13th of October, Misha took part in the founding laying ceremony of the Presidential Library in Tbilisi. The library will keep materials and things related to the presidencies of Zviad Gamzakhordia, Edward Shevardnadze, and Misha. The president stated that after his presidential term expires, he intends to visit several countries and meet potential investors. Maestro TV appointed Baya Gavadadze as director general. Previously, she worked as a producer for Maestro. Former director general Ilya Kikabidze said he is going to take up other functions at the channel. Mamuka Khlonti, co-owner of the channel, described Gavadadze as a talented producer with excellent managerial skills. The Georgian big box hypermarket Goodwill and its affiliated company Marché continued to have insolvency problems, but they are continuing to operate and are looking for an investor. The management ascribes the problems partly to the former government's illegal fines. However, they claim they will escape bankruptcy and retain the leading market position because the current government has relieved business of state pressure. Representatives of Goodwill claim their unforeseen expenses exceeded 30 million lari because of the former government's extortion. According to Kommersant.ge, the Tbilisi Development Fund suspended the music and drama theater construction project in Rije Park because of a lack of funding from the central government. Misha Nugulava laid the foundation of the theater building. The Italian architect Massimo Fuksas designed the kind of nutty building. Russian airline company Aeroflot will enter the Georgian market next year. Tbilisi-Moscow flights are scheduled beginning in March. Parliament's on recess till the 30th of October because of upcoming presidential elections. The meme this week is a video of foreigners dancing a Georgian folk dance, Gandagana. The video was recorded in the summer of 2012, but only recently got popular among Georgians and everybody's sending it around. Lots to read this week. Long-term election observer mission from the OSCE's ODIHR published its interim report about presidential elections in Georgia. Article by Teto Japaridze and Ilya Rubanis about the disparity of perceptions in the West over Georgia's political trajectory since 2013. Article by Molly Corso and Eurasianet about Georgia, the EU, and Russia. Article by Michel Funzig on Democracy and Freedom Watch about Georgia and the EU. An article about recent developments in the village of Dizi, where the Russian occupants installed new barbed wire fences, on AlJazeera.com. TI Georgia's article about the situation, Channel 1. Also, TI Georgia's interim report that evaluates the implementation of the Visa Liberalization Action Plan, which was handed over to the government of Georgia in February 2013. Updated edition of the European Integration Index 2013 for Eastern Partnership countries. The index tracks progress of Armenia, Azerbaijan, Belarus, Georgia, Moldova, Ukraine annually and provides nuanced cross-country and cross-sectoral picture of the region. All these things are posted on our forum. This week's geocapital number is 60, which is the percentage of Georgians who believe that harsh parenting is more effective than nonviolent methods. On the 11th of October, UNICEF published a study on violence against children, which they conducted with USAID support. The national survey revealed that 94% of Georgians understand that children are hurt when they observe violence at home. 60% of child protection professionals think that a family's internal affairs are their own business and should not be interfered with by others. The study found that 30% of Georgians report that their parents regularly used physical force when they were children. Currently, 45% of Georgians believe that the use of physical violence against children is acceptable. When asked directly if they are, would, or plan to use physical punishment against their own children, 30% of women answered in the affirmative, compared to 17% of men. In 2011, UNICEF published the State of the World Children, which presented key child protection statistics at a regional level. According to the survey, the percentage of children ages 2 to 14 years old who experienced any form of violent discipline methods were as follows. In Azerbaijan, 75%, Ukraine, 70%, Georgia, 67%. From the 28th to the 30th of October and on the 1st of November, Tbilisi Concert Hall will host a jazz festival. Artists include Marcus Miller, Avishai Cohen, DJ Logic, and Natalie Cole. For additional information, visit TbilisiJazz.com. The 6th Contemporary Art Festival Artistarium 2013 is taking place in the Dmitry Shevardnadze National Gallery. They're hosting Lado Pochkova's photo exhibition, Anatomy of the Georgian Melancholy. The exhibition will run until the 14th of November. The address is number 11 Rustavelli Avenue. For additional details, visit museum.ge. On the 15th of November, Liberty Bank and the Smart Text Group will launch the first ever Startup Weekend in Tbilisi. Participants are welcome to share their startup ideas. Participant teams form around the top ideas, and then they have 54 hours to create business ideas. At the end of the week, they receive feedback from judges. On the 17th of November, the winning projects will be announced. Startup Weekend is a global grassroots movement of active entrepreneurs who are learning the basics of founding startups and launching successful ventures. The nonprofit organization is headquartered in Seattle, Washington, but Startup Weekend organizers are in 200 cities around the world. For more information about Tbilisi Startup Weekend, you can check the official website. That's tbilisi.startupweekend.org. Cool that they're doing that. Everybody ought to check that out. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email address is tbilpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, which is www.tbilpod.com. And to wind up this week, we have the first song ever recorded at Rick Hall's famous Muscle Shoals studio in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. By the way, there is a great new documentary out about Muscle Shoals in theaters right now. Go see it if you can. Recorded in one take, this is Jimmy Hughes, who worked in a rubber factory at the time of recording, from 1962, Steal Away.
I've got to see you somehow, not tomorrow, right now. I know it's late, whoa, I can't wait, so come on and steal away, please steal away. Now don't start thinking, make up your mind. Your folk are sleeping. Let's not waste any time.